Amen. That was a blessing. I was the bus kid that got saved. God called me to preach, and I got my first opportunity to preach. I still remember my text. It was Ezra 7:10, and I didn't know how to write a sermon, and so I got myself, you know, they have 3x5 cards. Well, I got the 5x8s, and I wrote 13 pages of notes. And I got up to preach, and I got to note number 5 and realized I had lost 7 pages of notes. And when I got done, one of the preachers in the congregation was, you know, keeping notes for me to encourage me, to teach me, you know, how to preach better. And he says, your preaching got a lot better when you lost your notes. I lost my notes. Unfortunately, I found them. Amen. Anyhow, I'm glad I got notes. But how many of y'all love doing your devotions in 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 8? The reason I ask that question is I like those read the Bible in a year commentary type Bibles. You know, Walk Through the Bible is one of the ones I like using. And it's always interesting when you get to 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 8, they always make you read all 8 chapters. They're long chapters. And I thought about it one day. I was like, because nobody reads them. Am I the only one? Because so-and-so begat, and so-and-so begat, and so-and-so begat, and so-and-so begat. And the thing that would be wonderful about that is if you recognize the names, that you get through some of those chapters and pretty soon so-and-so begat somebody you never even heard of and you're never going to hear of again. But can I just say this, that God has a way of noticing things when other people didn't notice. And you remember there was a time where the Bible says that Jesus was being thronged by the crowd and Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, everybody's touching you. No, somebody touched me. Amen. You remember everybody was bringing in their offerings, and they were bringing in their silver and their gold, and if you've ever studied that out, they were probably putting it in and making a big show, and it was clanging, and everybody's like, wow, look at all the money coming in, everything like that. And Jesus said, whoa, look at that. Do you see that little lady? She just gave two mites. I wouldn't bend over to pick up 2 mites. And Jesus says, you don't understand. She just gave all her living. Amen. I say all that to say this. Would you turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, please? 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says this. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from the evil, that it may not grieve me. And can y'all say the last part with me? And God granted him that which he requested. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to open your word, to sing your praises tonight. We just pray that you would still our hearts. Father, I pray that I would be empty of self, filled with your spirit. And Father, that your word would accomplish that which you desire in all our hearts tonight. Father, we pray for the salvation of souls. We pray for a gospel that goes to the ends of the world. And we just pray that you would be glorified in all that's said and done tonight. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please do be seated. You know, praying for missions may be one of the most overlooked opportunities that we have as Christians. Let's think about it, and our focus sometimes might be too narrow, okay? I don't know about you, but I think sometimes, I don't know if you ever struggle with false humility or too much humility, and sometimes you're afraid to ask for things because you're wanting to be spiritual. You know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, the model prayers help, but by and large, the model prayers are prayers that, you know, basically talk the format, if you will. And this is a format prayer. You're going to see that here in a second. But a lot of times we want to pray for other people. We want to pray for forgiveness of sins. We want to pray for humility. We want to pray for opportunities and things like that. And Jabez prayed that God would bless him. You look at that in the wrong context, you could take and say, what a selfish prayer. But can I just tell you this? We're going to see, I hope you'll see this by the end of the night, that there's a few things that you might put not connect together, but I think God does connect together. And I think this prayer had a great impact. And I believe it has a great impact when it comes to our, if you will, our opportunities when it comes to missions. And by the way, missions isn't just sending missionaries out. Y'all understand that? Because the Great Commission is that we're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And it talks about, it says go, but really the implication there is as you're going, we're all missionaries. Amen? We're all missionaries and we're all wanting opportunity. I don't know about you. I'd like to have some fruit that abounds to my account, not just from missionaries, but I'd like to see souls saved. Amen? And so he tells us to pray this prayer. And I really do think it'll impact you for missions here this morning. I want you to see something first off about Jabez. Jabez here was born in sorrow and not privilege. I told you at the beginning that I was a bus kid. And so, if you will, I didn't grow up in church. I was a bus kid. And to be quite honest with you, I wasn't really trained in church. I was sent to seminary. I went to seminary. And so I've learned in the churches that I've been in. Praise the Lord for churches. Amen. And so I've learned, but I've, to be quite honest with you, I've always kind of felt like a little bit of an outsider, a little bit of a late starter. You know what I'm talking about? I always look at other people and say, you're more spiritual than me and maybe more mature than me. And a lot of that might be true. Amen. Just joking about that, hopefully. But the whole point is this, is, you know, sometimes we don't have the esteem that God would have us to have to be able to boldly come to him and said, Lord, would you bless me? Amen. The Bible says that he was born in sorrow. What does that mean? That's what Jabez's names mean. It means to grieve or to be in sorrow. Listen, his mom was sorry. And you have to imagine, you have to use some, if you will, some sanctified imagination, if you will, when you look at this. You say, well, why was she sorry? Well, maybe she couldn't afford it, or maybe it was a hard time. And I will tell you this, we're living in a world of hard times, isn't it? It's been difficult. Having said that, it's always been difficult. Amen. But this is as difficult as we've ever known. Okay. And so his name means to be in grief or in sorrow. That was his mother's condition when he was born. And today, by the way, we're teaching children to be victims of their birth status. Isn't that sad? Literally, that's the curriculum. I don't know if you're familiar. I'm not up here to teach on that, but they're literally trying to teach victimization in our schools today. And so you can walk around with a woe is me attitude. I didn't grow up being able to buy the fancy tennis shoes, and I didn't be able to grow up and have the fancy clothes, and I didn't have these opportunities. And you can take and you can drive yourself into the ground with all the things that you're not. I don't know about you. I would tell you this. I'm a child of the King. Praise God. I'm happy for that. But, you know, America used to be the land of opportunity. And it still can be if we have old values, not the new indoctrination. Amen. Have the old values still, a land of opportunity. How many of y'all realize you have an opportunity as Christians to do great things? You know, God gives us these wonderful opportunities here. You know, Jabez prospered because he wasn't like his brothers. Look at verse 9 again. Look what the Bible says. It says in verse 9, it says, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow, excuse me, That's not the first part. And Jabez was more honorable than his, you know what I think his brothers did? Oh, mom's poor. We're a single mom household. Oh, we can't, okay, woe is me. Jabez didn't put up with that, amen? Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He didn't have that attitude. He didn't have that defeatist attitude, if you will. And so he was more honorable. His brothers probably gave in to the excuses offered them through their desperate circumstances, but his honor was that he rose above. Keep your place here because we're always going to come back to our text, but would you go to Psalm chapter 40, please? Psalm chapter 40. I just like to think about this when it talks about the opportunity that we have to rise above. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Any of y'all ever cry help? Verse 2, the Bible says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay. Listen, he took me out of some desperate circumstances, desperate situation, you know. And some of your testimonies, you might be able to tell me about a parents that weren't there for you, or maybe a drug household or an abusive household. You can tell some sad stories and things like that. Aren't you glad that God can lift this out? Amen. He can lift this out. Amen. These are the attitudes that we ought to have as Christians. Not woe is me, not defeatist. I can't do that. I can't try that. Why? Well, I don't know about you. I think I serve a God that can lift us out. Amen. The Bible says, and he says, he set my feet upon a rock. Aren't you glad to have a stable life? Amen. The Bible says, and he established my goings. Meaning what? Folks, do y'all realize this? Once God saved you, he had a purpose for your life. Praise God for that. Amen. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Is that your testimony? I forgive me, I say please take this the right way too often, but would y'all please take this the right way? Some people are just down in the mouth Christians. Man, the worst thing that can happen to us is we can go to heaven. It's the worst thing that can happen to us. I can do all things through Christ. We're going to look at that here in just a second. Amen. Aren't you glad we can have a hope so? You know, a positive, you know, outlook on life. Verse 4 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Praise God. Listen, God is the one that we can trust in. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you this, if God saved you, he saved you for a purpose. Right. And I think maybe he saved you for a bigger purpose than sometimes we think. Right. I don't know about you, I like dreaming big dreams. I'm the type of person, I don't like dreaming little things. I mean, things that anybody else can do. I kind of like to see God do some things only he could do. Right. Amen. Let's go back to our text, if you will. Go back to our text. He was born in sorrow. He was not born in privilege, but he didn't make excuses. He trusted in his God, and he took, and he was bold in his prayer. Now, folks, I got to be honest with you. I don't know. Why am I preaching this tonight? I'll tell you why I'm preaching this tonight. This message was a blessing to me. You ever get blessed in preparation for your own messages? And just the fact he says, Lord, bless me. I don't know about you. I'd have trouble praying that before I studied out what this meant. Okay? Meaning, well, that seems kind of selfish. Why don't you pray for God to bless somebody else? Well, do that too. Y'all with me? Do that too, amen. But he says, his prayer was this. He says, Lord, that you might bless me. Look what it says in verse 10 again. Oh, excuse me, I'm not there. In verse 10, the Bible says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now I want you to think about this is attitudinal, you know, seeing life and situations as a blessing. I don't know about you, but, you know, the Bible says all things work together for... Does that sound like a blessing? And so even if you're going through a hard time, or even if you're going through a trial or some type of difficulty, you can take and you can have the attitude. It's attitudinal. Listen, I'm going through a trial, but God has a purpose for this. God will never put you through a trial. He doesn't have a purpose for it. Amen? And so even in the trial, you can say, Lord, help me get a blessing out of this. And by the way, it's also good to say, Lord, help me have some money, and Lord, help me to have some health, and Lord, is that okay to pray for? Lord, bless me indeed, please. Not just in the bad times, but taking, Lord, bless me indeed. You think about this, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift descended from the Father of lights. Amen? And so anything that comes our way works together for good. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Amen? To those who love God. How many of y'all think Jabez loved God? I think Jabez loved God. Amen? And so if you will... And so every gift is from the, every good thing is from the Lord. All things work together for good. And by the way, whatsoever state we're in. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, I've learned whatsoever state that I'm in, therewith to be content. Amen. Why? God, I just want to see your blessings in everything that I do. Okay. Now, what am I saying all that for? Well, sometimes hard things can be a blessing. And sometimes abundance can be a blessing. By the way, abundance can be a curse too.
That's right.
Amen. Okay. And so he says, Lord, that thou wouldest bless me. You know, take this right way, again, sorry. In many ways, being blessed is a choice. All I can think of is the kid that got a candy bar who wanted two candy bars, you know. Oh, I only got one candy bar. I don't know about you. I'd be glad to have a candy bar. Amen. And be careful about judging, because God commended him for this prayer. I want you to think about this. Well, if I'm all the time saying, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. Well, he ain't done praying yet. I'm going to say that again. He's not done praying yet. Whole thing about that is he's praying here, and if you will, go to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye cannot have because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, say it with me, that ye may consume it upon your lust. He's not saying ask to be blessed so that you can go to Disneyland. He's asking, Lord, bless me so that you can do the things that I'm about to pray for after this. Amen. Folks, I want you to think about this. He was asking to be blessed in order to pursue his other prayers. Now, I'm going to jump to the next one just here in a second. I'll jump ahead just a little bit. He's saying, Lord, would you bless me so I can have more impact on people? He didn't say, Lord, bless me so that I can have a bigger car. Lord, bless me so I can have a better house. And I will promise you this, that when we ask for blessing, they ought not just be physical. Sometimes we need spiritual blessings. How many of y'all need courage every once in a while? Lord, bless me with some courage, and Lord, bless me with some opportunities, and Lord, bless me with health so I can take and do this, and Lord, open this door over here. Lord, would you bless me? Amen. How many of y'all pray for God to bless you? Amen. Not that you might consume it upon you, but so that you might say, I have the resources and the opportunity. Any of y'all ever have an opportunity in life where later you went, ah, fill in the blank? How about praying before you go, say, Lord, when the opportunities come, would you give me what I need so it's a profitable opportunity? Lord, would you bless me? I'll promise you that the way that I'm built, initially it was very hard for me to even think about, Lord, bless me. No, no, that seems very selfish. No, no, no. It all depends on what your motivation is. Lord, bless me so that you might use me. If you will, he prayed, if you will, to be blessed. He wanted to be blessed in order to pursue his other prayers. And excuse me here. I don't know what that meant. All right. The second thing here. Go back to our text, if you will. Go back to 1 Chronicles 4. Notice what he says next. He says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Well, what's that mean? Well, Lord, give me a bigger house. Is that what that means? No, he's literally talking about this. If this is my circle of influence, this is who I'm impacting in my life right now. He's saying, Lord, would you bless me so I can expand my opportunities? Lord, I'm praying for this young man here, okay? I don't know you, so you're just going to be a volunteer, amen? Okay? He said, amen inside. Okay? Lord, would you bless me so that we might be able to meet today and I could talk to him. Amen. Lord, would you give me some more money so I can give more to Faith Promise Missions? Come on now. Lord, is that this what this is all about, right? This week? And so, Lord, would you bless me so that I can witness that lost loved one? Lord, would you have something happen over here so that I can have a greater influence over there? Okay. The whole idea is he's saying this. He says, expand my borders, expand my coast, expand my opportunities here. And so enlarge the borders so you can have enlarged responsibilities. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 4. Proverbs 14. And look at verse 4. The Bible says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Man, how many of y'all like a clean house? This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. How many of y'all have this one circled? You got this one circled? This is a great verse. You don't have this one circled? The Bible says next, it says, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Man, I'm glad I don't have to. How many of y'all, kids, watch this here. How many of y'all have ever had to clean out a stall, a pen? Very good. Anybody here ever have to give a shampoo bath to a cow? That's what I used to do. Show cows, you ever do that? Blow dry them. Ever do that? I was glad when we didn't have to do that anymore. And I'll tell you this, though, it's nice having a clean stall, but that means you don't have an ox. And you know what? We've become such a life of convenience and ease, and we don't want to be bothered. And sometimes we could forget to say, you know what? It's all about making connections and contacts and telling the people about Jesus. And it might turn my life upside down, but I tell you what, I'd rather have these problems than no opportunities. Amen. The Bible says further, we live in a day of labor-saving devices. Amen. I don't know about you, would to God we'd all long to be used. Amen. Lord, use me. Every child longs to grow up in order to do more. How many of y'all remember being 14 years old? As 14, now I'm too close to Arkansas here. This might not be a good illustration here. But when I was 14, I used to sit in my front seat of my parents' car, and I'd stretch my feet, and I could reach the brake, and I'd say, I can drive! Right? Because you could touch the pedal. I don't know about you. When you're 14, you're excited about driving? Amen. I could drive. You're still 2 years away, at least where I come from. You're 2 years away. But you're saying, man, I want that opportunity. Listen, Lord, help me to grow up faster. I was thinking about this the other day. How many of y'all ever prayed that your birthday would come faster, Christmas would come faster? How many of y'all have stopped doing that? I thought about that the other day. No. Just one at a time. That's good enough, Lord. Amen. One at a time. One at a time. Longing to be used. You know what? Every child of God ought to long to be used. Lord, I've been sitting in church long enough now. Maybe it's time for me to maybe give a little more. Anybody here remember the first time you tithed? First time I tithed, the Lord had been dealing with me, and I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know about tithing. And the first time the Lord moved on my heart to tithe was the biggest paycheck I ever had in my life. And I'm just telling you this to tell you this. I wrote a $75 tithe check when $75 tithe check was a good check. Okay? And I was like, scared to death. It's so scared that I stopped tithing until the Lord took $140 from me and said, will you tithe now? He taught me. You know what? Tithing hasn't been an issue ever since. I don't know about you, I like growing in the things of God. I like growing, like having more opportunities, amen. Every child wants to do more, and even in the church, but how about in our daily walk, in witnessing, how about mentoring, how about this one, how about in comforting the hurting? I'm a chaplain now, and I'm a chaplain in the Civil Air Patrol, and I deal with teenagers. And the reason I joined the Civil Air Patrol was because they asked me to teach on suicide awareness and prevention. Now, you have enough military people in here to know that that is a regular topic on base now. And I didn't realize how important of a thing it was. And I can't tell you how many teenagers have come to me and told me thank you for just being there. What am I saying? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a little selfish sometimes, worried about how people are treating me and how my day's going and how I'm feeling and how, listen, us preachers, we don't worry about peer pressure or anything, do we, brother? Amen. Good.
Can I ask just real quick, how many veterans do we have in here? One thing that I do now is if I know somebody's a veteran, if you'll let me talk to you, one of the prayers when I pray, Lord, bless me and expand my opportunities, I go up to veterans now, I say, how you doing? And you say, what do you mean? Folks, I want you to know us leaving Afghanistan has hurt some people deeply. And so what do? You say, Lord, give me an opportunity. And you know what? Sometimes all you got to do is ask. We talk ACE, ask, care, and escort. Ask them, show genuine concern, and if they need help, get them to some help. And folks, I'm just telling you that we have the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
But you have all those blessings and no place to use them. Lord, give me an opportunity.
Amen.
Help me to put my strength into somebody else. Amen? And so, Lord, bless me indeed. And Lord, expand my opportunities. And Lord, help me. How many of y'all know this verse? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Have y'all ever seen the context of that verse? Would you go there, please, just real quick? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10, the Bible says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He's saying this, he says, look, you care about me, but you lack the opportunity to do anything about it. But now you have an opportunity. Isn't that what he was praying for? The Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Listen, we're all Christians like that, and we're humbly we'll say, listen, I can do without, amen. But wouldn't it be good if you had excess that could meet somebody else's need? You know, and money and time and care and all the things that we were talking about. He says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And folks, I could take and go all the way down to verse 20. Do you realize that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me is a missionary verse dealing with helping missionaries. Y'all with me? He's saying this. He's saying, I'm so thankful that you gave. And I'm so thankful that you helped. You didn't have opportunity, but now you've had opportunity. You've reached out and you've met my need. I learned to live without it. Boy, I'm so glad I don't have to. I saw a preacher friend this last week. We were at the meeting together and somebody just asked, how you doing? And does anybody know the answer when somebody asks you how you're doing as a Christian? I'm doing great. Is that the answer? So then he did this. He says, no. I'll point at you guys. How are you doing? You got enough money? Oh, yeah, I got enough money. No. Do you have enough money? Well, I could use some more. I was touched. Why? Because somebody had said, Lord, bless me and help me to open up my opportunities. And Lord, you help me to know which ones to do. Come on now, amen? And he was doing, I watched it right in front of my own eyes. That was, praise the Lord for that. Amen. I want you to think about this. Notice the context again. It's in missions and ministry, okay? Missionaries have learned to do without in order to minister, okay? But can I challenge you in this area here? Does anybody know what that is? That would be two. Amen. Don't raise your hand. How many of y'all actually take the time to read your missionary prayer letters? Amen. Amen. I asked how that you did yours. I guess you do yours on a video thing. You can watch on a video screen. They come up. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I print ours out, and I try to make sure everybody takes them home and reads them. The church I grew up in, we would read a missionary prayer letter every Sunday morning. That was a blessing, amen. But can I just tell you, we expect them to write those letters. Can I just say that I think if you want to take and get the help you need to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you, maybe you should read the letter. Amen. How many of y'all have taken the concern for others rather than self as seen in your own prayer focus? What do I mean by that? How many of y'all are real good about praying for your loved ones, your church, yourself? But when's the last time that you actually knew a missionary need that you were praying for and saying, Lord, would you meet this? Going out of your way to pray for other people that you don't normally pray for. Folks, sometimes our prayer lives can become pretty selfish. Amen. Jabez, I'm telling you, you're going to see here in a second, God, the Bible says God answered Jabez's prayer. He answered Jabez's prayer in a huge way. Okay? So we need to take the time to read prayer letters. We actually need to have the real concern where we pray for their needs, and we pray for their safety, and we pray for the things that they've taken and they've brought up. You need to pray about how much we should give, okay? And you're already praying about that, so I'm not going to focus on that. And then sometimes, how about this? How about works of encouragement? I suspect your church does this, but you know, birthday cards and anniversary cards and thinking of you cards. And today, missions isn't like it used to be. Can I just tell you this? We have these things called email and texting. Y'all know about that? And I promise you this, if you can get a phone number, they're traveling across the world, but you get a message to them, amen? And saying, I'm with you, I'm praying for you, I care, amen? And what a blessing, because some of these missionaries, they would go, and they wouldn't talk to anybody, none of their friends, for 4 years, okay? But praise God, we offer opportunity to do that. Zoom calls. How many of y'all do Zoom calls? Not very many. Can I just say this? You can actually see their face. And I know this, that a lot of the missionaries are putting out videos now so you can actually see their face and watch their children grow up and change. Amen. Are we willing to receive the necessary help that we have? You know, the Bible teaches us that I can do nothing without Him. Except ye abide in me. Amen. And my word abide in you. He says, except I purge you, you cannot bear fruit. Amen. In John chapter 15. Y'all with me on that? And so the whole point is this, is, matter of fact, I want you to turn there. Go to John chapter 15. Look at verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he what? Taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he... Okay? So, if you're not bearing any fruit, you might want to see if you're attached to the root, because the root bears fruit. Okay? But if you're bearing a little bit of fruit, God says, well, I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to prune you. I'll promise you this. We probably don't like being pruned or disciplined, but I'll promise you this. We all produce more fruit when it happens. So when it says, I can do all things, you know, sometimes God's got to teach us some lessons. Sometimes God's got to push through some hardships. Sometimes God's got to get us where we can be more usable or more sensitive to the needs of other people. You see, he took and he prayed all these things, and then he realized that he needed God's help in all of this. I want you to think about this. It may take a little discipline, purging. It may take a little faith, abiding. But think of the fruit, souls, churches, and your own growth in the faith. By the way, how do we grow? We're supposed to have self-control, brotherly kindness, caring more for others than we care for ourselves. Amen. And then finally, back in our text here, Lord, would you bless me? Would you expand my borders? Would you give me the help that I need to become more fruitful? And then fourth, Lord, would you keep me from the evil? Would you keep me from evil? Okay. You know, if God has answered this prayer up to this point, why is this point so important? Now, I want you to think about this. You're asking God to bless you. You're asking for more opportunities. You're asking for his help. And let's just say you're starting to produce some fruit. Why would you need to ask for help against the devil, against the evil one? I tell you why. How many of y'all, when everything starts going pretty good, you're like, hey, man, I'm pretty good at this. And... I you got to forgive me. I like to ask questions. Any of y'all struggle with pride? Good, I'm not the only one. And you got to say every once in a while, Lord, don't let me get proud about how much I'm giving to missions. And Lord, don't let me be proud about how many people I'm bringing to the Lord. We used to go to church together, and... he wasn't at church at this time that I remember, But we used to have one man about every other week. He'd bring somebody up to the front of the church, and he'd stand there all humble like this because he had just personally led this person to the Lord. And I guess he just wanted everybody to know that he had led that person to the Lord. And as a young Christian, I was impressed because I was like, wow, that guy leads a lot of people to the Lord. I don't want to tell you the end of the story. Because he got it lifted up in pride and he lost everything. He lost everything. Okay? Well, I don't know about you, but if a soul gets saved, you didn't do it. God did it. All he did was give you the resources that you need and an opportunity, and he helped you. And you better say, Lord, keep me from getting proud. Well, I give so-and-so, I give X and so amount to missions every year. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God gave that to you to give to him? Amen. Well, I've led 12 souls to the Lord this year. I praise the Lord for that, and I hope it's true. But you know what? I've also heard that some people plant seeds and other people water, but God gives the increase. And I'll promise you this. Some of y'all have been very faithful to witness to people. Maybe you don't get a harvest fruit or ever, but you see other people doing it. But you know you're out there witnessing, right? You say, well, there must be something wrong with me. I'm not doing it right. No. Some people plant and some people water, but God gives the increase. And you can just humbly go about and not be defeated because you're saying, listen, I am trying. And God, if it be your will, I'd sure like to harvest one. I'd like to be there for that. Amen. And so you take and just humbly take and serve. What's the payoff on all this? I want you to see this. I was going to give you this for my text here, but I didn't want you to think I was trying to be too cute. Would you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and look at verse 55? 1 Chronicles 2 and verse 55. Well, folks, I don't think there's any accidents in the Bible. How about you? You remember my premise was that sometimes God hides little things in his Bible and they just seem out of context and what he's kind of doing. Anybody ever have when I went to college, I used to have a teacher, he'd point at things on the board and he'd go like this. You guys ever had a teacher like that? That's the teacher going, it's going to be on the test. Okay? And God sometimes, whenever you're taking, reading along, it says, so-and-so begat, and so-and-so begat, and so-and-so begat, and so-and-so begat. And then all of a sudden it tells the story about Jabez and this wonderful prayer and how God blessed it and answered his prayer. Amen. And you got to stop and say, Lord, why would you say that? Well, maybe I should look and see some other things about Jabez. Well, and listen, I'm not going to push this too hard. But I will tell you this. Look what the Bible says here. It says, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. And folks, I'm just telling you that sometimes great men had cities named after them. This is the only other time the name Jabez is used in the Bible. Okay? And the Bible says, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites and the Shimeathites and the Sukathites. These are the Kenites that came of Hamath. And then here's the important part. The father of the house of Rahab. That's Rahab. Okay, not Rahab. All right. And you say, well, who was that? I will tell you this. The Bible talks about two other incidents in the Bible of Rahabites. And they're put in relationship with Jabez here. And you remember how that he was an underprivileged child who grew up, who made some good decisions and said, God, would you bless me and give me more opportunities and go with me and help me and keep me from the evil one. And I believe he became a great man, did great things for God. That didn't just have fruit in his lifetime. Folks, I see enough older people here. How many of y'all want to live a good, godly life for Jesus Christ? How many of y'all think you would have failed if your children and grandchildren didn't follow you? Well, folks, Jabez wasn't only blessed in his life. I believe he was blessed in his descendants. Because he had a prominent descendant, I believe, if he's a Rahabite, okay? There was a man named Jonadab. Just comes out of the blue, and I'll just tell you the story here. All of a sudden, you're hearing the story about Ahab and Baal and Jezebel, and God calls a man named Jehu to come and destroy him, to bring him out of the land. And Jehu is driving. He's killing all the people who follow Baal, and he's finding all the priests, and he's following all the adherents. And he comes up against a guy named Jonadab, and he says, "Are you with me or against me?" He says, "I'm with you." He says, "Get in the chariot." And they went, and they destroyed all the people who followed Baal. He jumps into the picture and he jumps out of the picture, and the Bible says he's a Rechabite. You say, what in the world? Well, I don't know, but can I just contend this way? I think maybe he had a very faithful grandpa. Okay? Kenites are not Israelites. Rechabites are not Israelites, but they jump into the story and you're like, where did they come from? Why are they there? Can I just tell you this? If they come out of nowhere, pay attention! So much so that at the end, when Israel's getting ready to be cast out of the land, go to Jeremiah chapter 35, please. If you want to study about Jonadab, go to 2 Kings chapter 10. Study it for yourself. It's a good story. The Rechabites in Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them. And by the way, go in your Bible, see if this chain, I'm not making this up, go back and see it for yourself. Okay. The Bible says, bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. I'll tell you the story because I'm running out of time here. Okay. They say, drink some wine. And they said, no, Grandpa told us not to. Israel's got Moses. They've got the law. They've got the Ten Commandments. They've had all the prophets that have been sent to them. And they just can't follow. Folks, we live in a world full of people call themselves Christians, and they just can't do what the Bible says. And then a goofy group of people here, I'm sorry for being so judgmental, amen. You didn't laugh at that. That was a joke. Okay. By the way, that's not a bad thing. The Bible says that if we're right with Him, we're going to be a peculiar people. And that doesn't mean weird. It just means that everybody else thinks you're different. Amen. And why do they believe that? Why do they hold to that? Why? It's Wednesday night. Why are they wearing ties and a coat? Why do they keep that King James Bible? Why do they sing such wonderful music? Amen. But we didn't have a smoke machine or anything. And please forgive me. The sad thing is they go to all those gimmicks because they don't have anything real. And God comes, He says, you go get those non-Israelites, put them in the temple, and tell them to drink wine. They say, we won't do it. Why? Grandpa told us not to. Folks, can I just tell you something? It might just seem like a faith promise meeting. And it might just seem like, you know, you were trying to be encouraged to live for the Lord. And I pray the Lord that you absolutely do that. But folks, teenagers are leaving churches today faster than we can replace them. In some circles, it's 80% of the teenagers leave as soon as they can. How many of y'all would that grieve you? And what our kids need to see is people who are real Christians. It doesn't matter what circle they're in. And they get up every morning. And folks, I think you could pray this. This would not be a vain, repetitious prayer. You could get up every morning and say, God, would you please bless me? Why? Because yesterday I was able to do this, but if you could send one more person that I could witness to, or one more person I could say, hey, veteran, how you doing? Or one more person you look in a child's eyes and say, hey, listen, has somebody told you they love you today? By the way, we need those things. Amen. And you say, God, would you give me the discernment to know the people who need my help the most? And please, Lord,
would you help me not to be lifted up in pride, but would you just let me humbly serve you, not only so that you could make a difference in my life and so that I could produce fruit for your glory that would abound to your account. But Father, when my kids turn 19, I want them to be here too. And when my grandkids are challenged, why do you go to that stupid church over there? They can take and they can say, because it has substance and I believe it just like Grandpa did. And I think if you'd pray that prayer, you might find that you would have that kind of fruit. And I don't know about you, but I want that kind of fruit. And it's not selfish to say, Lord, would you bless me if that's what you're hoping for? Let's all stand.